Welcome to the MS edition of Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the multiple sclerosis community.
Hello, welcome to the Rare Care Podcast. This is your host, Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor. We're at the Siegel Rare Neuroimmune Association's 30th Annual Conference in Dallas, Texas. Our guest today is Roslyn Kalb, a clinical psychologist and lead senior programs consultant for CanDo MS, a nonprofit health and wellness organization based in Colorado. According to its website, CanDo offers free programs and resources that help people living with multiple sclerosis and their care partners make each day the best it can be. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Larry. I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
So explain to us why your organization is here at this conference, which focuses on rare neuroimmune diseases. And I should point out here that MS, of course, is not a rare disease. More than 1 million Americans are living with it.
It's a great question. So for the past couple of years, CanDo MS has had a wonderful growing partnership with SRNA. In part because our goals for people living with all of these diseases is to live the best lives that they can. And since we focus on health and wellness, it's really not disease specific in any way. It's going back to the basics of comprehensive care, which means looking out for people's physical, emotional, psychological, cognitive well-being, as well as their ability to stay active and engaged in things that matter to them, and also to help them keep their world as open, adventurous, interesting, and stimulating as it can be.
MS, of course, is a fairly common condition now. According to some recent surveys, something like 3 million people around the world are living with MS. The latest numbers I saw were that more than 900,000 Americans alone have MS. And of course, there's a great variety in terms of geography, in terms of gender, et cetera, and ethnicity as well. What can we say about the current situation for MS and the availability of treatments?
This is an incredibly exciting time to be working in this field. When I started in the field 40 years ago, we had no disease-modifying therapies that could slow or alter the disease course. So the good news is we now have well into the 20s of medications that have different mechanisms of action, so people can confidently start on a medication that they decide on with their provider and then have many options to switch to if at any point in time the first medication they start with doesn't do for them what it needs to do. So in addition to that, we've made a lot of advances in symptom management and helping people live more comfortably. I think the downside, if it's okay to call it that, to having so many disease-modifying therapies and such advanced MRI technology is that conversations about those have taken over the neurology care appointments. MS care providers have to spend so much time talking about treatment choices and MRI findings that there's much less time for symptom management, quality of life, and wellness, which is where an organization like CanDo comes in, because it's our goal to fill in those gaps. Okay, and so our programs, which are now many are virtual and some are in person, all are totally free. But the goals are threefold. One is to provide education, but second, and even more important, is to provide connection. So people around the world are connecting with each other and finding a community that offers them support and understanding. So the thing we hear all the time is, I'm not alone. And the third component is activation. So learning, connection, and then activation, which means, what steps can I take today to improve my quality of life, to set goals in whatever areas of wellness are of highest priority for me, and what healthcare professionals and others do I need to take those steps.
So we hear this term a lot lately, wellness. What does that mean?
So for me, it means everything that you can think of that has to do with how you feel at a given point in time. So obviously, your physical self, including your medical care, is one component of that. And that's very important, but it's also your emotional well-being, your vocational well-being. Are you able to continue work and do what you love? It's your spiritual well-being. Do you feel grounded to the world around you in some way that is satisfying? Cognitive well-being. And relationships. How are you with the people in your world, in your family? How is the communication going? Are you feeling like you are taking care of each other in the ways that work for both?
Just if you would, talk about the organization CanDo MS and how did it start and how is it different from other nonprofits out there? I mean, we have written about any number of nonprofits that deal specifically with multiple sclerosis. What makes your group different?
I'm really grateful to have the opportunity to answer that question. I think that its historical background is important. So CanDo MS was founded by Jimmy Huga, who was the first American to medal in downhill skiing at the Olympics. So he was a real hero in our country. And right after he had that victory, but before he had a chance to have others, he was diagnosed with MS.
Which Olympics was this?
Not sure. But it was in the early 80s. And at that point in time, people with MS were told they needed to take it easy. They needed to not exert themselves too much. They needed to rest. And Jimmy tried that for a brief period of time, but became severely depressed. He was an athlete. He was used to being very active. And so he decided to ignore all of the recommendations from the experts at that time and said, I need to make my own plan. And his plan was built around lots of physical activity and exercise, which not only helped his body, but improved his mood. He focused on a healthy diet, getting restful sleep, being engaged with others who supported him, and he found that he did very well. It didn't cure his MS. He had progressive MS, and it was not going to stop that, but he skied until right before he died.
I have actually interviewed at least two MS patients who were able to reverse and eventually eliminate the disease through intense exercise and very careful diets.
Well, I think I have to say that we don't know how to eliminate MS yet. We think it is an ongoing inflammatory process that begins well before the first symptoms and well before diagnosis and continues until the end of life. MS has a mind of its own. It ebbs, it flows, it flares, it quiets down, but I don't think it disappears. It may just become quiescent. And for some people, it can become quiescent for a very long time. And for some people, it's quiescent for brief periods.
Roz, do you see the incidence of MS increasing or is it just a perception?
I think there's some disagreement about that. I think from what I have learned, we are much better at diagnosing it. We are much better at looking at populations that we didn't think had MS, like African Americans, Hispanics, and discovering that when we look, we find it. So we now think that it's at least as common in Black women as it is in Caucasians. So do I think the incidence is increasing? I'm not sure, but I do know we're finding more because we're looking better.
And is that because of better diagnostic tools or because you're just doing a better job getting the message out? Or maybe a little of both?
I think it's both. I think we're able to diagnose it much more easily and we're able to reach populations who wouldn't consider it as a possible diagnosis and whose healthcare providers wouldn't consider it a diagnosis.
So would you talk a bit about how your organization supports itself? Is it through donations? Is it through grants, corporations? How do you thrive?
I think that we have to give a lot of thanks to our pharmaceutical partners. One of the side benefits of having more than 20 disease-modifying therapies in MS is that we have a lot of pharmaceutical companies who are eager for people with MS to get this kind of programming. We are also always looking for other kinds of grants that can help support us, and of course, donations. Because of Jimmy's background, we've raised a lot of money through ski events in Colorado that attract a national participation. And MS Global is a huge bike race that also raises money.
Another question I have, and this is also in conjunction with something else we're working on, and that's this intense interest here at this conference of cannabis as a way to treat rare neuroimmune diseases. I would assume also that a lot of people with MS are either smoking, eating, or vaping cannabis in some form or another.
So I think people are always looking for ways to improve their mood, their sleep, their physical discomfort, including pain. We've had some research in MS which has demonstrated some benefit on spasticity. But I think within the MS community, and I'm a psychologist, so particularly in the mental health community, one of our concerns is that well over half, probably close to 70% of people with MS experience some cognitive changes as a result of the disease. And with all of the benefits that cannabis may have, it also brings with it a certain mental fogginess. So the people I know in MS who are experts in cognition and mental health are just concerned that those side effects, if you will, of smoking cannabis may actually outweigh the benefits that people get. So we would like them to find other ways to manage some of that pain or discomfort. And there are now many new mindfulness strategies in addition to medications that can help manage those. And so some people with MS are taking 10, 12, 15 medications. And if you look at their side effects, they all include fatigue or sleepiness. And people with MS are already struggling with fatigue. So we're looking for ways in addition to medicines to help. And if I may, I just want to say one word about what makes us unique. We have always focused as much attention on the care partners, meaning the family members, partners, spouses, children, parents of people with MS and their well-being. So when we do programs, everything is about everybody, right? Your quality of life, your emotions, your needs, and how you can support each other to live with a challenging disease. And of course, this crosses all diagnostic groups. The care partners, as we see at this meeting here, have a big job.
We're just about out of time, Roz. Thank you so much for speaking with us. We've been talking with Rosalind Kalb, a clinical psychologist and lead senior programs consultant for the nonprofit organization Can Do MS, a health and wellness charity based in Colorado. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.